Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
It's time for the Dr. Tan G Show.
Hey, you're on the air with Dr. Tan G. Talk to me.
As soon as I hear your voice, Dr. Tan G, my day is better.
Hey, Dr. Tan G, I took your advice and made some changes in my life. And you know what? I've been winning ever since. Thank you for your advice.
Now, here's Dr. Tan G.
Hey, welcome. Welcome to the show that was founded on Kingdom Principles, a show that's designed with you in mind to move you from where you are to where you want to be. It's a show that's packed full of my co-host Niles and KJ's antics. delivering some principles that will help, because life is full of opportunities to exercise your faith. How about that? That sounds all right, guys? Yeah?
Yep.
So yep. Before we get into the principle for today and the recap of the principle last week, I do want to say thank you guys both for your sacrifices and being here today. You're feeling good, yeah? You're ready?
Yeah. Let's get everything started.
Good deal. Last week we covered. Yes, I was wondering. Okay, thank you, sir. Last week we covered a topic that was just asking a question. So, what do you have to give? And I kind of highlighted that when you're asked that question, and if you're like me, many, many times I was asked that, I wanted to start projects and it had no idea where the funding was going to come from. I'd answer, well, I've got a testimony. So if you ever find yourself in a predicament where you're like, you know what, I really don't have anything, that's not the truth. You do have something. You've got your gifts. You've got a testimony, and definitely have a vision. And I want to talk about today's principle, which is just, it asks that question. I got here, what do you have to give? But that is not the question, KJ. It asks the question, ask before you leap. Or it says that statement, ask before you leap. And what does that really mean? Listen, because this show is founded on principles that are divine interventions of the word, when you're asking, what I mean by that, ask before you leap, that's your relationship with God, right? When you ask him about what you're about to do, you want to ask about respect. All right, here's what I'm saying. Is what I'm about to do going to be respect unto him? Respect means to honor. It means to have adoration for. It means to yield yourself or your plans to what is for him. In other words, is what you plan to do in your life really benefiting God's plan for your life? Is it your plan or is it his plan that you're about to undertake? The second thing that you want to do when you're asking, okay, I'm about to take this leap, you want to have respect for the people that you're about to serve, because your gifts really do, they make room, right? The Bible tells us that your gifts make room and they bring you before great men. Is what you're about to leap into going to be respected or be respectful for the people that you're serving? Those are questions that when I find myself about to do a project, I want to know, okay, is what I'm about to do going to give respect unto God? Is it going to give respect unto the people that I serve? And those are, I guess, I don't want to say proverbial, but those are questions that you kind of have to put pen to paper to get an answer that it's beneficial for everybody involved. Again, when you're about to undertake a project, respected unto God, and then two, is what I'm about to do going to be respected for the people that I'm going to serve? As difficult as that is sometimes, it is something that you do want to kind of think about before you start. But you do want to ask that question, will this be respected? All right, help me, Niles, KJ, what's your soliloquy on when you're about to undertake a project, how important for you is the respect that what you're doing going to honor him?
I would just say that's everything. I know in my life right now, I have opportunities to take on different projects. And so I have to understand, okay, is it my time to give or is it my time to receive? When it comes down to like honoring, God. So I think always having that active communication, will put you in a better place when it comes down to like, what's your next step in life? And just always asking and say, okay, I know this is a big, mission that you called me for, but is plan A right? Or is plan B right? Is it going to get me closer to you? Am I getting closer to the world or am I getting closer to, you?
Okay.
I feel like you have to I feel like you have to have that channel open constantly, and you know you have to have your ear open and listen. Keep an open channel with God. With that, I know for me, He positions you and repositions you if you're not in the right position to be in a place to serve as a vessel to Him and also to others. If you are in service to God, then naturally you will also in that be in service to people because He will put your heart and get your heart in the right place. So, you know, after that, I think it's pretty easy to see, you know, what the target is and to stay, you know, aimed at the target. But you also, like you said, kind of have to ask yourself questions, write down those questions, understand why it is, you know, you're doing what you're doing. You know, the motive, you always have to be in tune with the intent. What is the intent of what I'm doing? And I feel like if your intent is in the right place, then things will fall into place. Then you have to ask the question, destination, you know, where is this going to take me? But not just me, but where is this going to take other people? You know, where do you want to be? What will it take to get there? And, you know, then after that, just know, you know, what it is that you are destined for and that you want, and then do your research. And in doing that, you can become more equipped, you know, throughout the journey. So keep that channel open, listen. And ask God to give you that posture that you need. And then everything else from out there will flourish. Even when things are coming to a standstill, it may be a standstill to you, but it's, if anything, it's just another mountain that you have to leap over. And once you leap over that, what you cover in that space is astronomical. So, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so very much.
I hope that makes sense for everybody.
It makes a lot of sense. It does. It really does. Good deal. Thank you.
Thank you.
Transparency is always, it's always foremost. And you're absolutely right. I do believe in making certain that that disposition is where you're supposed to be when you're carrying out whatever He asks of you.
Exactly.
Yeah. I have a question. So like, what if you're in the wrong place? How does God communicate to you?
Well, I bet
you need to slow down because I know that's for me, everything gets out of whack.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like I don't have any control, which is like how it should be, but like it actually feels like everything is out of my control. Like,
absolutely.
From like the food that I eat and everything's like, okay, I don't know what's going to happen the next couple of days. I know that's what's it like for me when I know I'm out of place, everything's just out of whack. But what's that for you guys?
I feel like that's how God gets your attention. When you realize that you thought you had control and it's like certain things and certain elements that are presented, you're like, oh, I really don't have control. So like you said, that's why it's important to keep that channel open and to continuously listen, like be vulnerable, because I feel like when we actually think that we have control over everything, we're not being vulnerable.
Nope.
You know, like we're we're in the place of mind where it's like, oh, I have this covered. And no, you won't have any of this covered if you don't continue to pull from the source. That source, once again, is God. He is your nourishment and he is your food. So as long as we stay aligned with that, I think mm-hmm. we should be good. But it's always us. It's always our pride, always our yep. ego. I went to this school, yep. that school, worked this job. I'm yep. supernatural and this and that. I got powers and favor. But at the same time, remember your source.
Absolutely. You know, I like that.
You know, and you are just a vessel. You are pretty much a caveat between God and the people. So remember that. You are here to carry that process out to illuminate God.
I love it. For me, and that's so well spoken, Niles. For me, it's I can't hear him when I'm not where I'm supposed to be or doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I can't hear. And for me, everything is it. I gotta hear. I have to know what my next move is. I can plan as much as I want to, but if it's not lining up with the purpose that purpose that I'm supposed to be doing for him, I can't hear. That's my disconnect. And that's a problem for me. It's like you're crying out saying, man, what have I done? What have I done? It's like a parent who doesn't give you any attention. So you kind of stump off and you have your temper tantrum. And if you're a good parent, you just kind of look at the kid and like, I'm sorry. you're gonna be okay. But I lose the ability to hear.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And that's all in vulnerability.
Vulnerability, absolutely.
As you say, you know, we have to remember our master. Remember, you know, who we serve. Are you serving yourself? You know, are you in a place where you are doing things for attention, or is your heart in the right place? Is your heart convicting you? Is your heart pushing you to do this or that? You know, yeah. God deals with the heart. He's in the heart. You know, that's what a true home is. That's the core of everything. And you wonder why? Because God is the heart.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Listen to this, brother. Man, you've been gone for what, one show? And what have you been on the mountaintop and getting these revelations? Come on, bro.
I've seen some things in these last 3 days, man. I'm being pushed through whatever is going on with me right now. So yeah. Sometimes when you're up against the wall and you have experiences where you're like, man, I had another experience, you know, where I didn't really have control. And I'm like, man, what is going on with me, like physically, because I've never felt this way. And that's when I kind of like just relinquished power. And, you know, I started gaining more energy through that. Cause at first I was telling myself like mental toughness, I'm here, but I'm like, no, God is the reason I'm here. Yeah. you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So
like, in that time, you know, when you're kind of down and out or whatever you're going through, I mean, even if it's just being sick or whatever else, like, you really have to, like I said, I'm all about that source now, because that source is your light, he's your energy, he's the way, he's everything. So
we are
all here right now because of the source. So, you know,
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Speaking of here, boy, how I miss LA. I am hosting from Atlanta, and I miss you guys so much.
Oh, you're in Atlanta?
I'm in Atlanta. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Midtown.
Oh,
I know about that place. Where are you, LA?
I was just there a little over a year ago, so.
Oh, my gosh. I'll say this, and I'll be quiet and follow the script. I'm driving on the interstate, doing 70 miles per hour. The speed limit is 65. Everybody's passing me doing 85, 90. Gotta be. And I'm like, what is this? I've only been gone 7, maybe 8 years, and I don't get it. So I stopped into Walgreens, and I'm talking with the cashier, and I said, man, have you noticed how people are driving? And this kid says, ma'am, I'm from Chicago. I don't even drive in Atlanta anymore. I know better. Oh my gosh. Anyway, that's my spiel.
But speaking of that, coming from Atlanta, compare traffic, right? They say LA has the worst traffic, but I feel like Atlanta traffic is pretty bad as well.
Yes.
And it's like, and I feel like it doesn't move. So you have nothing to look forward to when you're Atlanta versus here. You know it's going to move, but it's just going to take some time. Like, Atlanta's like you're at a standstill. So I'm like, Atlanta's bad too. You know, you don't have palm trees and this and that. Like, there's something about the energy, like in LA, it's like creative from the ground up, even if you're at a you know, the lowest level possible now. It's just something in the air.
It's something in the air.
As soon as I got off that plane, I'm like, wow, I feel it. I want to create. I got to do something here. I come here for no reason, and I've wasted my time. And God wants me to be here right now, so I'm going to take advantage of it.
Oh my gosh, listen to this man. That's what I'm talking about. No matter what. I think we fight a good fight of faith every day, to stay there, to stay afloat. Because again, I'm not just kind of harping on the cost of living, but my God.
LA will teach you some stuff.
Who you telling, man?
Teach you about yourself, teach you about life, and teach you about God.
Oh, my God. Amen. Know? In that order, right?
Yep. Tell you something, man. How was the game for you the other day? The Lakers game.
No, he did not.
Yeah. I know he was saying, the Heat in seven, and it just...
Look.
For you. Look at that right there. Let me get it all up in there today.
I love it.
Put up a fight. You got to admit.
You know what? You did. And I did gain a lot more respect with Jimmy Butler. Also, hearing his story, like him coming from being homeless and adopted. And like the dude's tenacity and his fight and just his mindset. Like, we have to honor that.
Yeah.
I didn't even know he went through that.
Yeah.
Look. Wow. I'll just say that, like, the Heat and the Lakers in the finals was a definition of, like, heart versus talent.
Yeah. Yep.
Heart will take you so far, but if you add a little bit more talent to it, it's a wrap. Because that was LeBron was like one of the greatest players of all time.
Right.
So you have to really put that into perspective of like, just imagine, like, if we're all talented, but if you just put in your all into whatever you're doing, how far could you go?
Yep.
And that was the definition of like the NBA finals. And one thing I got to respect with Butler is that the next day he was seen inside the gym.
Oh, come on. He didn't take a day off?
He didn't take a day off. He was seen inside the gym.
Wow.
Crazy.
I mean,
I love it.
Crazy.
I absolutely love that.
So from that, I know you and I talked about this the other day, KJ. And this also goes with the principle somewhat when like ask before you leap and know what everything entails, but you know, the intent behind you leaping, the intent behind what you're doing. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because thinking of Jimmy Butler, but also LeBron, compare LeBron and Jordan and so on. And you mentioned this the other day, LeBron has the ability to make people around him better. That's a special kind of person. And that's someone who is truly aligned with purpose, because most people, let's be honest, we're pretty selfish with our intent. It has to serve us more than others and so on. Anytime someone can take the selfishness out of that, of something like that, especially being a part of the team, and pour into others, like that's basically what God does to us on a consistent basis. But when you truly are serving in purpose and you have your heart in the right place and God has positioned you to be in that place, everything around you will be impacted. Everything around you will be infected. You know,
same thing goes
in a good way.
Same thing goes with
that's you. Good
because of his mindset. Training camp, he said, right before everybody's like working out, he was seen getting up at 4 a.m. already in the gym in a full sweat.
Oh, come on!
He said, And that is the Heat culture, and that's what I love about the Heat. And in another interview, he said that, look, I can score 40 points, but I'd rather score zero and have everybody else.
Yep.
Like Tyler Hero score 40 or Bam contribute. Like
both
superstars on their teams elevated. Because I would say this, the Heat overachieved. They overachieved.
Yeah, they did.
They did.
Really?
Yeah, they did.
I think so. Like I said, I think I told my friend that after I saw one of their games, I said they're going to the finals. I said they're going to the finals because of like that grit. You know, they were a number 5 seed in the East, They beat the number one seed in the MVP. They beat the Indiana Pacers, but that's the Pacers. So we'll just leave that aside. They beat the Boston Celtics too, which are a very talented team. They are so talented, but I don't think they're there. You know?
For sure.
They just said, all right, cool. We're just going to bully you. We're going to go to the finals. Stop us. So that's all I say about LeBron and Butler. But moving on. Voting season is coming up, my guys. In California, especially if you're in Atlanta, Mississippi, I would ask you guys to really look at registration deadlines and when's the deadline to vote in person and vote by mail. I know in California, online registration deadlines by mail and online is October 19th. Voting November 3rd in person as usual. And absentee ballot deadlines requests are due on the 27th, return by mail on November 3rd, return in person, that's November 3rd still. Early voting, it's from October 5th to October 2nd, but dates and hours may be varied on where you live. So depending on what county you're in, this may vary. So all I'm just trying to encourage everybody is to vote, really look up. And this is all in California, by the way. Register to vote and get ahead now before you miss it. Start now so you can just chill it. All
right. I've heard that there's been a pretty big show out at the polling places already. And this is just in the beginning. So I think people are going to show up because, you know, basically everything that you need to see or you want to see, you know, change, it's kind of like in your hands at this point. I think this is where like the people really need to understand, like the power does lie in the people. And when it comes down to it, like, I think it's an interesting concept of, you know, how we elect people who are very well off, who may not be able to identify with the average, you know, person in American. So I think this is a great way for people to exercise, not just their rights, but like the change that you want to see in the world. Of course, you have to be a part of that. And I am speaking from my position as well, because sometimes we do feel like, and this is just regarding voting, because I feel like there's a lot of folks who say, you know, oh, with voting, man, like it's not going to make a difference and whoever is elected or whatever.
I hear it all the time.
You know, basically that's you giving away your power. You know, all it takes is sometimes it just comes and takes something. So hopefully that kind of inspires people to, you know, get up and, you know, go out and vote. But also look up how to properly mail in and complete your ballot, because if not, it will
good count. Information. Absolutely.
And make sure you sign the back of that envelope, blue or black ink. There's all the information you need is online, because if not, your vote may not count.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. You can say
good stuff.
And come back and forth. Be like, oh, but I did X, Y, and Z. But
did exactly. You follow
the rules?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You
know.
And I'll add this, guys. National elections are really important, but it's those 2-year elections with those Senate and city council and mayors. Those are the ones, because if you think about it, it still takes 2/3 of a vote, right, for Congress to do any kind of ratification for bills to be passed. So the president is powerful. They still need Congress. They still,
balances. You know,
if absolutely.
You don't know, it keeps everything in order. So this party, so this branch checks on this branch, and that branch checks on that branch.
Absolutely.
Sure no one's acting out of line, and we're preventing a dictator / king to our
bingo. Bingo.
Speaking of the president, today was supposed to be the presidential debate. Was it today? Today. Debate, but it got canceled last week. They wanted to do it virtually. Our president wanted to do it in person. So they canceled the entire thing because of disagreements of how they wanted to run it. I understand, but then again, I understand like what they're trying to prevent. So, it's very interesting how there wasn't a happy medium to accommodate.
I was just about to say that this is a great that's a great way to kind of, you know, sense the pressure of the times. Because if you can't compromise on something as simple as that, we got some work to do.
Absolutely.
We got some work to do.
I mean, you can
absolutely
all the way on that side and all the way on that side and just like
exactly.
It's just like find a way to compromise. I'm not downing anyone, but I'm just saying like come together, you know.
Yep.
We can work everything out.
Let me ask you though, with the debates and again, not to get too political, but is a debate as effective as maybe once upon a time, or is it just two people kind of arguing and not, you know, meeting?
I see what you mean. I personally, technology
go. Okay, man, go ahead. I just say something good.
This, I know, right?
I think it's a little bit of ineffective, but it's also effective. It's a both.
Okay.
Because then you get to see the. I want to say flaws, but I'll just see like you see the discrepancies in both candidates. Like, okay, cool. All right. So they're both human.
Yes, for sure.
You know, they talk about with policies and stuff, but also I don't think it's very effective because no one is listening.
Yeah.
No one is listening. It's like, he's speaking, but like, wait. I don't think like getting like 2 minutes is like enough time to really.
That's true.
As well, I understand it is once again, it is some sort of a show. They package it a show. So you have to understand that too. So I just think listening is not there. So
yeah, I think when it comes to debates, like people are listening for what they want to hear. they're listening for, you know, those points. Or someone like, oh, he says something that aligns with how I feel or something that I would like to see. So therefore, I'm going to vote for this person or that person. But honestly, I feel like with how the debates went, you know, the first time around, I don't know if we've ever seen something like that.
Honestly.
It seemed like it was a pride and ego show. Like I felt like I didn't really get much out of it. And I felt like it was this kind of a situation of just like pointing fingers like, I'm better than you at this, or I'm better. It's like a sword fight. You're just going tit for tat. But the people didn't really walk away from anything. You think about the second debate with the vice president, there were some facts and, you know, people actually touched on things.
Right.
You know, things that will impact and affect the average American, the average person. So we walked away with a little bit more than we did from the actual presidents. I think that's interesting because those are vice presidents. Maybe they were able to make cohesive statements and answer most of the questions that were posed.
We're listening to respond, not listening to understand.
Absolutely.
We come to a point where we can just say, no, I misunderstand you and understand your perspective, you know, because at the end of the day, we're all Americans.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's hilarious because I just think both sides are attacking each other's throats right now. You know,
we did
this in 1894. I'm like, wait a minute.
Right. Exactly.
Wow. Like, not even here right now. So it's like, let's focus on today. Let's
Turn together. I would love, go ahead, KJ.
Continue.
No, I was just going to say, I would love for this to be bringing people together from both sides. And then we can like make a compromise or say, this is important to us. This is important to us. How can we meet in the middle? But like, as long as like there's these separate divides, man, it's like,
you
feel like even if a Republican gets in office or a Democrat gets in office, a lot of folks feel like, okay, you're serving the Republicans, you're serving the Democrats, but why can't we ever just have like one unified consensus? I'm like, okay, we heard what you said. Let's find a way to meet in the middle.
Yep.
You know? But yeah, I think that would take some time. But I feel like that would be more effective just for people in general. So, yeah.
I'm telling you, you got something to do with politics, man. You need to answer that call and come on and serve the people with your kids.
Governor Finkley, go ahead.
I've stepped away from it. I just speak from my heart at this point, and I think that's what connects with people. So,
moving on to Mental Illness Awareness Week.
Yes.
I'm going to pay tribute to that time because it's very important, especially during Corona on side most of the time. They're trying to find some form of escape from all this because, like, we have to understand, God didn't plan to be that alone. And being in isolation like that, I know some people don't have families, some people don't have roommates or whatnot, or they don't even get along with them, so they're forced to be in a secluded spot. And it's a dangerous time because Dr. Tanja and I was talking about this before the show. Suicide rates have increased, you know. So we want to give everybody the phone number for the suicide prevention hotline, which is 1-800-273-8255. That is 1-800-273-8255. So if you have a loved one or a or yourself who are getting these thoughts of like not feeling they're enough or feeling like they're away from the world or whatever those thoughts may be, we hear you. We want to use this number as a lifeline to you guys, a little floaty, catch it and come back to shore because we love you.
Absolutely.
And to live and live your best life.
For sure. Thank you so much. Can I add something to that, KJ? Can I add something? We have time. Okay, never mind. I'm gonna go ahead and say it. So I just wanted to give, like, you know, it's like a suggestion. Like, a lot of people are dealing with depression because they're confined, you know, in between walls. And sometimes something as simple as going for a walk, you know, that can help, because I've been dealing with that recently too. Like, I'm out here, you're pretty much all by myself. I don't have any family or anybody out here. So it's like pretty much me most of the time. So, like, sometimes something as simple as a walk or, like, writing, like, some poetry or a song or something to just get those emotions out and just kind of free yourself. Because if not, basically what you're doing is you're just holding all that in and it's just going to continue to chip away at you until you, you know, could potentially get to the point of just, you know, breaking down. So whatever you need, like, keep in check with yourself. Like, if you're feeling a certain way, sometimes just go out and get some fresh air. If you have to wear a mask, I wear a mask. But, you know, sometimes you have to get outside of, you know, the confinement and just listen to yourself. Like, get in tune with yourself because that can save you. I know it's helped me a lot. So I'm just speaking from experience.
I love that.
We'll close here and we're going to move on. But journal. Like, this is something.
Yes.
This is my journal from my freshman year of college. I wrote everything down so I can go every moment. I get a new journal every time I finish. So I think I have about 5 of them now. But, you know, it helps. It helps just to get your thoughts out.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for sharing.
It's not a diary.
That vulnerability. I appreciate that. Honestly, I do. I will urge our listeners, our supporters, to stay interactive with us. We've got a number that is 323-203-0815. If you want to call in and give your thoughts or your suggestions, you know, we are truly here for you. Again, that number is 323-203-0815. And of course, on social media, we're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Dr. Tanji Show. So DM us, send us a line, just stay interactive. We're here for you. We really are.
Yes. And we mean that.
Yeah, and we mean that. Absolutely. Guess who is coming on the show today that Niles and I get to interview? It's none other than our very own Mr. KJ Powell.
Ooh.
Mom.
Surprise! When I first, and I know you know this story, right? I first met this gentleman. I knew that there was just something about him. He reminded me of someone that I bore of my son, Tryon, so very much. That he was very reserved and kind of, you know, I won't say standoffish, but I'll just say he was, he was in his head kind of trying to figure some things out. This, you may have seen him on TV shows, episodes of, what was that? What was the name of the TV show that you were on? Sheldon? Yeah.
Yeah. Nickelodeon Lifetime as well. Yeah.
So, I mean, this gentleman is actually doing it, and I want to celebrate him and Niles, but I'm celebrating him because he is truly, he will not quit. When he came to the show and he began to show me exactly what he was working with, I knew then that he was definitely someone that is truly headed for greatness. Thank you very much to Kate.
Hey, man, it's been a long time, man. It's been a long time.
I know, right? So, KJ, let's just get off into it. You know, you are truly someone who creates your own kind of playing field. You do. You're not like the average Joe that says, you know what, I'll just kind of take what you give me. You're creating. You're a mover. You're a shaker. Yeah. And you really are an agent of change. What is it that you can, I guess, ascribe to or tell us that keeps you in the game? What keeps your head level?
You mean like just focus or?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I have to understand my why and why I want to do it, you know? Okay. I was just on a phone call with Nick Few and George Preston.
Hey, Nick.
There we go. George. We were talking about opportunities for people. You know, I just want to make opportunities for people to shine because everybody else, everybody's talented. Everybody has
absolutely.
I want to create that platform. And the crazy thing is, it's just coming to me now, is that I was, I don't know, 12, 14 at the time. And I said, I want to create like a studio of some sort where people can come in and, be able to create and be able to express themselves, you know? Uh-huh. So it's like they also get like a home training of like the facilities and how to use a camera, but like people can create their own content, you know? And that's what I'm working on for myself, you know? I want to bring my friends on to shows. I want to bring my friends on to movies because they are talented. I want to give them opportunities. I'll get you to the door. Now you just got to show up.
That's
my motto when it comes down to like helping other people. It's like, yeah, I can help you,
sure.
But you got to do the work as well.
Gotcha.
Okay.
I want to ask you a question, KJ. And first off, I'm Niles. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Niles.
So, man, I was just listening to what you were just saying. At age 12, 13, you're thinking of creating a space where people can come to express themselves.
Mm.
That's not the average idea. Mm-hmm. That a 12 or 13 year old has. What pushed you to that point? And I want you to be real about this because, you know, sometimes thinking of something like that, it's because we felt like we weren't heard. Or like, you know, maybe growing up you had this or that experience, or there's makeup behind that. Yeah. Or maybe you've been finding ways to express yourself and you realize how much of a power it is. Like, what took you to that point at 12, 13 years old?
I was just tired, you know, tired of not having roles that I wanted to go out for, what I wanted to express. I can tell you this story though. Since I've been out here, I think I've had about 4 or 5 managers and agents. One agent, I kept declining roles because like there was a certain character they wanted me to play, which I,
That's
not me. That's not me. And I don't want to do it. And I'd rather have somebody else do it who will play the role, who's more deserving of it. And I kept turning it down because they kept giving me the same role. I said, no, you're going to keep sending it to me. You're going to keep sending it to me. And I'm going to say no over and over again. And then they dropped me. You know, I just got tired
of
that, like, that everybody wanted me to do, but it's not for me, you know?
For sure.
That role was not for me, it's for somebody else.
Absolutely.
So that's why I got to the point of like, you know what, I just want to create some stuff from
You remind me of a video I saw on YouTube not too long ago where Mr. Chadwick Boseman indicated that he had gone for a role and they wanted him to play this guy whose mom, you know, he wanted more about the role because it was not in line with what he, you know, wanted to put out there. And he didn't get the role. And because he asked the executives, because they told him, you know, if there's anything you want to, you know, say about the role, or if you want to, you know, say something or change something about the character, by all means, feel free. So he thought he was at liberty to do that, and unfortunately didn't get the role. Of course, Black Panther came along. So I said that to say, you remind that kind of demeanor where you just will not accept anything. Thank you so, so very much. Because you'll find people that want to be on so badly that they'll accept anything. And you're like, but that's not a good representation of who you are or who we are, you know. Yeah. So thank you. Seriously, thank you very, very much. I'll ask you this. Was there ever time that you wanted to just say, you know what, I'm done? I quit.
This morning.
Thank you for your honesty.
This morning.
So seriously, thank you.
Honestly, I was crying in my bathroom this morning. I was filming an audition with my mom, 6 a.m. And I've been going out for this particular network for years, you know, and I haven't been hitting the mark. You know, for granted, they brought me back for the same series I auditioned for. A series regular for, so this casting office likes me. All right, that's what I'm getting. But then in the middle of the scene, I'm not getting this line right. I'm not getting frustrated because of the line. All right, my frustration is because of like I've been trying and trying. I've been knocking at the doorstep for so long, you know. And my mom was like, all right, let's do it again. I was like, I said my first line is I can't do this. I walked away into the bathroom and started crying. And I hit a wall at that moment. And one thing I know about when I hit those walls, like something good's gonna come.
Amen. Yeah. You better believe it. You better believe it.
I've hit that wall many times, but other times I just ignored it. But this time it hit me because like all the memories came back all at once. Like, I've been there. I've been in the room. I've been talking to directors, producers, and it's just like, what else do you want from me? Mm-hmm. And that's also why I want to create my own stuff.
Absolutely.
Create my own content and let's create opportunities for people. For example, at Pepperdine, we had, an August Wilson showcase with I worked with George Preston and Nick Few on. We established that and we created a platform for all the African Americans or all the African American actors at the school. You know, and when we had to perform that at a high school for their first ever Black History Month, so they would have never got the opportunity if my friend never called me and said like, "Hey, she wanted me to do it first." I said, no. We're doing something better. I'll just schedule the date and we'll be there. You know,
I love it.
So
yeah.
I like creating stuff for people, letting other people shine, because it's not all about me at the end of the day.
For sure.
Yeah.
That is so beautiful.
I loved how you were able to turn around that moment of vulnerability and pain or whatever you were feeling this morning that made you cry. But like in that, as artists, bro, I'm sure you know about catharsis, right? Mm-hmm. That's like almost an example of catharsis because it's like the process of releasing and you're provided with, you know, relief and you get to release those strong and repressed emotions, having a sense of renewal, you know, for your vision.
Yeah.
So then I just listened to what you were just saying about like, okay, I cried or whatever else, but then this also means that something better is on the, you know, it's coming along.
Yeah.
I'm like, man.
I was like, KJ, get up. KJ, get up. I want to get up, man.
Wow. That's your spirit, man.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Yeah. Come on. Absolutely fighting, it is.
I'm just fighting my spirit in my bathroom. And it's just like, you know, get up and say, I want to do it. Yeah. It's like, I'm being reluctant. Now I'm being petty. like your spirit just like comes out and it's like, hey, get up. Like, no.
Yep. No. And that's how you know you're doing the right thing. Like you're walking in that purpose.
Absolutely.
If you're not, it is so easy to walk away. And even when you want to walk away, you don't have that voice saying, you better stop, man.
Yeah.
Okay, you're on the other side of gold, bro. Like, it kept, right. You kept on going.
3 feet.
So that means you're walking in the right direction, man. So
absolutely. Wow. Yeah. KJ, what would you tell someone who doesn't have what you have? They may not have that connection to God. They may not have a mom and dad that are so very supportive, or friends that say, come on, bro, you got this. What do you tell that person who wants to do what you're doing or in that, you know, in that space?
If the person is watching right now, I assume they have some sort of device on them. Use what you have, you know. You know, and because like, there's so much information that is given to us that we can look up to, people who can look up to. So like everything's in your fingertips. What are you going to do with it? All right. Yeah. So like look up if you want to entertain, go ahead and look up different. Who are your favorite entertainers? What do they do? You know.
Yeah.
Look up their process. You don't need everything. All you need is a dream and a drive and drive.
Come on.
And that's it. That's it. You'll make it work. You'll find a way. Like growing up, I did school and acting. And I think one audition that I had a producer session with an HBO series. And it was doing finals, you know, and I could have, we had finals. I emailed for an hour.
Yeah.
An extra hour. I'm going to pass this final, but I just need 1 hour so I can get to this audition and come back. All right. And they said, no, it's out of our hands.
Wow. So
then I get a call from my agent. They said, okay, they'll see you at the end of the day. I said, yes. Because I'm driving all the way from Pepperdine, and that's a whole hour drive, and I'm speeding on the freeway.
Oh, dear.
Audition, so I'll make sure I'm ready and prepared. You know, if this is truly your dream, and you how bad do you really want it?
Mm-hmm.
You need to fight for it.
Within your morals.
For sure. Yep.
To get where you need to be. I was ready to fail. I was ready to fail it. I was so ready. I was ready. I was like, Mom,
I'm ready to fail.
Let me take the class again. Because I know this opportunity will not come again. This class will be here next spring.
Mm-hmm. Whoa, come on. Talk about taking a stand, man. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you. Seriously, thank you. Thank you for showing up for you. Go ahead, Niles. You're itching to ask that question. Go ahead.
No, I just said it, that you're a strong representation of being an artist with dignity and integrity. Because as we all know, like some people would take, you know, any and every role to try to get on and so on, but you know, while compromising, you know, their values or ideologies or their beliefs and who they are, you know, it's kind of like you're putting yourself up for sacrifice. What do you actually gain? Like, I get it from that one gig, but are you stripping away at your soul? So like, you're a perfect example of, man, just being an artist with integrity and dignity. And that's not easy to come by nowadays in this world, because everybody's trying to get by and move ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. I just wish we had more time. Dadgummit. But I am so happy that you agreed to share your story. Seriously, thank you. That testimony, I believe, will truly bless people and have them know that for certain, that once they focus and put him in the mix, they're going to be fine. And of course, don't forget to believe in yourself. So KJ, thank you for being, like Niall said, a representation of all things good. All things good. Thank you, sir. Hi, yay, and that's our show. Dadgummit. I am so grateful and I am honored, seriously, to share this platform with you guys. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you truly for being a light for so many people in this dark and sometimes very obscure world. Don't forget, you can join us every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific. Check me out, because I think I've got a guest coming up on Talk to Tanji. That's Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If I don't, stay tuned anyway. Just join and let's do life together. That's our show. Thank you, guys. Bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Tunji Show with Dr. Tunji Scott.